making uncertainty even greater.
On the one hand, you have the Secretary of the Treasury saying that there are negotiations to be had. You also have top trade officials like Peter Navarro saying this is not a negotiation. So that is likely causing some confusion in foreign capitals as they try to figure out what their strategy could be.
The reciprocal tariffs announced by President Trump are due to kick in at midnight. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy is directing the CDC to stop recommending to state and local governments that they put fluoride in their drinking water. It's been there for decades and has led to a dramatic decline in tooth decay, says ABC News medical contributor Dr. Taryn Arula.
We have seen a 25% reduction in terms of tooth decay by putting fluoride in the water. We may not think of tooth decay as being an issue, but it is in terms of both pain and suffering, cost, a cosmetic issue, quality of life, eating. So it is really something important, and it is a low-cost opportunity to really eliminate health disparities for individuals who may not be able to get to the dentist.
The EPA has set a maximum safe limit of fluoride. What's in our water is far below that, experts say. The Dominican Republic's capital of Santo Domingo right now. Rescue teams are on the scene of a roof collapse at a popular nightclub. At least 18 people were killed, more than 100 hurt. Saying he faces multiple threats daily, Prince Harry in a London courtroom trying to get his security detail back. This is ABC News.
This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
The Ego Power Plus Savings Event is on at Lowe's. Right now, get a free select Ego 56-volt battery with purchase of a select trimmer, blower, or mower kit. That's a $299 value. Plus, shop today for new and exclusive items you need for your lawn. So get ready for spring with the latest in innovation from Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Only at Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer valid through 416. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
New York City and its transit authority have agreed to wait 6 months on figuring out the success of the city's congestion pricing program, where drivers are charged more for traveling in the city's most congested streets.
The congestion pricing went into effect in January, but it's been hanging in the balance since President Trump said he wanted to pull federal funding. The MTA, meanwhile, has said the program does work, has eased traffic into the city, and has raked in millions of dollars for critical upgrades.
That's ABC's Crystal Cranmore in Manhattan. The Supreme Court has ruled that the Trump administration can continue those deportations to El Salvador under an 18th century War Powers Act, but that those deported must be given hearings first. The court also not ruling yet on one of the migrants who was sent to El Salvador through a clerical error.
Chief Justice John Roberts essentially calling a timeout here, giving the court more time to consider the case of Kilmar Albrego Garcia. He is a Maryland man in the United States legally who the government admits it mistakenly deported to that El Salvador prison. The administration does not want to return him. A lower court judge has ordered that the administration bring him back to the United States, but the administration argues that exceeds the power of the judiciary and interferes with the president's ability to carry out foreign affairs.
ABC senior national correspondent Terry Moran. Third national title for the Gators, the Cougars denied their first. The score of last night's NCAA men's basketball championship game, Florida 65, Houston 63. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only on iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
8:06 in the morning. Good morning. I'm Mark Bailey. Cameron Eisenberg is handling things in the other studio this morning. Thank you for joining us on a Tuesday, the 8th of April. Going to be a cloudy and showery day, apparently, but supposed to warm up a bit tomorrow and Thursday. Maybe not be sunny, but at least warm up a bit. Here's what we're looking at today for what we're going to do. First part of the program, Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer is going to join us, along with Administrator Allison Williams. They are here. Going to talk a lot of budget stuff here coming up, so stand by for that. Second half of the show, Owasco County Commissioner Jeff Justison is going to talk to us on the telephone. We'll talk to the new county commissioner about what it's been like for the first 3 months. Is it what you thought? Usually the answer is no, by the way. So we'll find out from Jeff here in a bit. But first, let's tell you about what's been going on, what this day means, and what it means at least to some people. 1820, the Venus de Milo statue, likely dating to the 2nd century BCE, was discovered by a farmer on the Greek island of Milos. 1864, the U.S. Senate passed 38-6, the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, abolishing slavery. The House passed it in January 1865. The amendment was ratified and adopted in December of 1865. 1911, an explosion at the Banner Coal Mine in Littleton, Alabama, claimed the lives of 128 men, most of them convicts leased out from prisons. 1913, the 17th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified, providing for the election of U.S. senators by state residents as opposed to state legislatures. 1962, Cuba announced 1,200 Cuban exiles tried for their roles in the failed Bay of Pigs invasion were convicted of treason and sentenced to 30 years in prison. This day in 1974, Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves hit his 715th career home run in a game against the Los Angeles Dodgers, breaking Babe Ruth's home run record that had stood since 1935. 1990, Ryan White, the teenager whose battle with AIDS drew national attention and led to greater understanding and destigmatization of those suffering from the disease, died in Indianapolis at the age of 18. 1992, tennis great Arthur Ashe announced in a New York news conference that he had AIDS, having contracted HIV from a blood transfusion in 1983. 2010, President Barack Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev signed the new START nuclear arms reduction treaty in Prague. And in 2020, a 76-day lockdown was lifted in the Chinese city of Wuhan, where the global COVID-19 pandemic began. Days for today. It is International Be Kind to Lawyers Day today. My dad's one, so I kind of have to. But it's your choice, I get. It's a draw a picture of a bird day today, for whatever reason. It's also National Feng Shui Awareness Day today. Yeah. It's also National Always Hours Day. And actually, this is a day to appreciate the beauty out in the world. It is Step Into the Spotlight Day today. It's Zoo Lovers Day. Oregon Zoo is a great place to go, by the way. It's also Trading Cards for Grown-Ups Day today. Yes, in my closet, I still have my baseball card collection. I need to take it out and have it appraised here pretty soon. And finally, it's National Empanada Day today for food, so that's a good one. Nice warm one today. Well, anyway, that's what we've got for you. For what it's worth, it's 8:09. We'll talk Hood River County after this.
During spring, weather conditions can make protecting our vital crops very difficult. Be listening for the Bi-Coast Media Columbia Gorge Fruit Growers Frost Reports every evening with meteorologist Jeff Lindsley on KIHR and KCGB. It's vital information for growers, gardeners, and hobbyists. Brought to you by Duckwall Fruit, Chad Munzer Repair, Diamond Fruit, Umpqua Bank, Hood River Supply, Orchard View Farms, Carson Propane, and Mount Adams Fruit.
Hey, this is Craig Morgan. Put the phone away or pay. We see them every day, people driving using their phones. There's the sneaker peeker or the fast scroller who can quickly become the fender benderer, the get a ticketer, or the driver who killed someone. Using your phone while driving could kill someone. Put the phone away or pay.
Furnished by NHTSA.
I'm ready. Let me just grab my bag.
Sweatpants, huh?
Didn't know we were keeping it casual this month.
Yeah, I feel bloated every now and then.
You have to try new Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies. They have prebiotics to nourish good bacteria, probiotics to help relieve occasional bloating, and postbiotics for immune support.
All that in one gummy?
Yep.
So no sweatpants next time?
Not anymore.
Align 3-in-1 Biotic Gummies for gut health support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
And the Kraken go up 2-0. Brandon Tanev!
It's the return of Seattle Kraken hockey. Don't miss the season-long action right here on your home of the Kraken.
Listen for over 50 Kraken games on KIHR.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
Welcome back. 8:11 in the morning. We're joined by Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
And it is budget time, Jennifer. Which means it's a grind, isn't it, to go through this?
Yes, it's a grind for all of us, and particularly our administrator.
Yes.
And so we are actually going to have a budget meeting this afternoon, this evening, and talk sort of the overall philosophies that we're using to make our budget decisions and get that nailed down this afternoon. We already know that it's going to be a tough budget. And what I hear out in the community is people are still interested in, you know, if we need to do something more, people in the community, even though it has never passed, are still interested on a fairly broad, I hear this very broadly, that they're still interested in a food and beverage tax, even though they understand how much pushback it gets from the restaurant industry. And so anyway, it's interesting what people are interested in, what they think might solve some of our problems.
I'll curl back to that in a moment, but I'll stick with kind of the here and now for this year. We've talked, Allison, already somewhat about, I mean, Hood River County, you're not in a crisis mode particularly at this point. It's just the usual, you got to be careful with the dollars.
Well, I think actually that there is this piece of the work that we do as public entities doing our long-term planning.
Yeah.
And there is much of that that needs to be done and quantified. So, for example, in this budget message, I'm laying out a number of areas where there will be needs. We don't have a dedicated fund for big capital projects like a courthouse replacement. You know, the vehicle program needs to be flushed out in terms of really looking at all of the vehicles that need to be replaced. Roads.
We talked about that last time.
Yes, exactly. Our bridges, recreation programs.
Well, actually, speaking of the roads, well, recreation programs, I have a very simple answer. They can pay, you know, the people who use it should pay for it. That's, to me, that's the simple answer, but I know it's not the easy one for you guys. The Oregon, their transportation package came out from the Oregon legislature about a week ago.
Right.
From a Hood River County perspective, I mean, what do you think of it?
Well, it's hugely needed in regards to the 50-30-20 rule and the funds that we get for operating our road department. We are in a dwindling capacity, so the increases that we'll get as a result of that package are really critical to maintaining our road infrastructure. So we do, it's a pavement management program that rates the condition of our pavement throughout the county. And we have some roads that are rapidly deteriorating. Plus, the board passed a resolution in 2011 that didn't accept new roads into the county road system because of our inability to maintain them. And you know, we're getting to a point where we need to revisit that. So this transportation package, you know, not just our roads, but let alone to keep the momentum going on the Hood River White Salmon Bridge, and then to provide some basic capital funding for our top request is for the bridge replacement that carries the Hood River water supply. We've got to get that piece of infrastructure replaced.
So, but as I look at for this year's budget, you know, a lot of that what you describe is down the road, which needs to be planned for.
Right.
We'll go. I'll go there in a second. What might any real noticeable change that people would notice in this year's budget?
I would say that this year's budget is let's maintain what we have. Mm-hmm. You know, thanks to the community that passed the levy for mm-hmm. public safety. And I am recommending some investments in some key places, mm-hmm. like our records and assessments department, to make sure that we're able to do the reappraisals that create property taxes across the board. I think the wild card in this year's budget is mm-hmm. what is happening on right. the federal and state level, mm-hmm. Because, you know, a process was started a number of years ago to make sure that the county was accessing as many grant resources as we could to sustain programs. And so there always is that significant worry around what's mm-hmm. the trickle down. We are at the bottom of the trickle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and how's that going to impact us? And so, you know, our budget and finance director came to me yesterday and she said, you know, mm-hmm. I want to recommend that we have more in contingency than mm-hmm. in our unallocated, unappropriated ending fund balance. And I would support that mm-hmm. and recommend that to the yeah. board.
Well, also, you've got the inflationary costs that you're looking at.
Yes. Yes. The cost of maintaining employees continues to escalate. We have in this budget proposed a compensation study mm-hmm. To stay on track with that, to make sure that we're continuing to mm-hmm. be able to hire great people. but we can't ignore what's happening, you know, with the state PERS sure. system. Mm-hmm. And to the county for our employees pays both the state part and the employee part. So that's a huge cost.
Yeah, you know, I remember hearing Bill Newton, Hood River County School District Superintendent, outline this for his school board, the PERS impact, which basically the bottom line became for them is given all, even with all the other challenges they have financially, the PERS one may be the biggest concern of them all, given the size of what they were dealing with in terms of what their contribution increases were going to be. And I don't remember them number for number, but they were pretty substantial. And it was more than just this biennium. They were talking about also down the road, the following biennium, the schools become very concerned about with state funding. For Hood River County, is it a similar situation where it's not just what it goes up this year, but what you may be facing 2 years down the road?
Absolutely. Right. I think that whole system, we across the state are worried about that and what that means. And we are exploring solutions, you know, as are the Association of Oregon Counties and many others.
Now, I will say something that's not horribly flattering to the Oregon legislature, but then again, I've done that before. I don't detect that there's any momentum or will to figure out a permanent solution to this. What do you do as a local government then to try to prepare yourself?
Well, I think first and foremost is becoming informed.
Yes.
And then, excuse me, using the resources that we have through Association of Oregon Counties and others to get the message across.
I guess that was what I was like. I mean, can the county do anything to be other than, I guess, start to sock away dollars, which probably gets to what you mentioned about your finance director's recommendation.
Right.
Because the PERS issue has been discussed for 2 decades, and really there's been no significant movement on it in 2 decades. They did try the one grand bargain, and part of it got thrown out by the courts. Of course, I mean, it's a contractual obligation, so it's got to be paid. I'm almost starting to think that, frankly, though, the local governments are on their own, which isn't exactly a nice thing to say, I understand, but or not comforting, but it's kind of, if I was in you guys' position, that's why I would be starting to think right now. I just got to figure out a way to do that. This, it is what it is, and I've got to deal with it.
You're not wrong. There are so many things here that we don't actually have control over.
And you're not wrong, by the way, to seek the state to try to get an answer. I will say that also.
another thing we face is that every time inflation exceeds how much our taxes can go up, as it did during COVID, that puts you behind, and it puts you behind going forward. So we're still living with that going forward.
Now, as we sit right now, how much has inflation increased Alice, in your day-to-day operations?
Well, certainly supply costs, supply chain, the ability to get supplies, it's improving somewhat.
And now I'll turn around the question to kind of the uncertainty that you've talked about is right now there's a lot of reason to believe that you're going to have more inflation here to deal with. We all are going to have it to deal with. Is that also made part of the let's have more in contingency thought is, can you even begin to project what it might, your costs are on the day-to-day, just the basic, what any business has to have to operate, to be able to even, it's got to be difficult to project in this climate right now.
I'm sorry, I keep...
I didn't mean to choke you up but...
You have a spring frog.
Yes, I do. it is hard to project. And so I think, you know, that's where you go back and... what used to happen is you would go back and look historically and then project forward. But I'll tell you what, since, you know, the last 5 years, it's been somewhat of a challenging environment.
Yeah, you would have thought, though, I mean, okay, the COVID impacts are winding down. That you would begin to be able to start to use some historical background again, but it doesn't appear you can now.
Certainly not in the climate. Yeah. As we speak, yes, makes things more challenging.
We are prepared during the year. We know going forward that we will have to make adjustments at the board level, probably.
There always are small budget adjustments as time goes on, but I don't think this time anything you're talking about, you may have to make bigger adjustments.
We may.
Okay, now I'll go to the longer term then on this. And you started to allude to it, Jennifer, and that is you mentioned food and beverage tax. I don't disagree with what your statement was that you've heard. I think people have always been interested around here, especially those of us who are full-time residents of here, who lived here for a while, going, okay, how do we get this tourism industry to provide more of the revenue, frankly, for the services that it uses in this
exactly.
area?
Exactly. And I think what I meant to say was, you know, even though we know that that's really challenging, it continues to be something that people feel very strongly about for that very exact reason.
But I would be interested to, and maybe we haven't seen the impact of this yet, but this gets back to the same factors out we were talking about here with Allison, the inflationary factors that are involved here and what people may be being asked to pay for more of. That there's 10 different taxes in that transportation package. I doubt all of them will get through, but there are different taxation methods to try to make up for the gas tax losses. I do wonder how that question's going to, if you ask that question to people 3 or 4 months down the road, what the answer is going to be.
You mean about a food and beverage tax?
Yeah, exactly.
Or about other taxes?
Or frankly, any tax at all.
Yeah. Because the transportation package does provide for some local options that are transportation related. So local gas tax, those sorts of things that the board has wrestled with before.
Yeah, exactly. And given the history of it, are you hoping to generate other ideas? We have gone through the food and beverage tax discussion before. Not that it's not worth doing again. But I would think maybe we have to also come up with some other solutions here.
Absolutely. I mean, I think everything that's possible has been brought up, special districts, for instance, for, say, public safety, things like that. I know they've all been brought up. I think just because we brought them up in the past and discarded them for, well, haven't gone along with them for whatever reason, doesn't mean that we shouldn't look at them again because times change and we're in a different situation now. And I misspoke. I said we were having a budget committee. We are having a Board of Commissioners meeting, and we will discuss budget philosophy. I wanted to be clear.
Okay, budget philosophy. I've always considered the Hood River County budget philosophy with the various people that have been on it pretty conservative, you know, in terms of being careful with the money. Not necessarily conservative in the political viewpoint, but just... I never know Hood River County to gamble on its budgets, to be honest, even though they did spend down reserves some during some times. What do you think the philosophy should be?
Well, I definitely don't think it should be to gamble.
Yeah, well, I get that. Which I didn't say it was a bad philosophy. I just said that's tended to be the Hooter County. I've never sat there and gone, boy, they're having to really kind of hope that something better happens that might not happen. I've never sat there and thought that when they came up with a budget.
No, someone told me recently that hope was not a
hope is not a financial plan.
It's not a strategy.
It's not a strategy.
So I think that our Board of Commissioners takes the fiscal responsibility very seriously. And so what we might want to do and what we might think people want us to do, we take that under consideration. But at the end of the day, we just have to make sure that we live within our means.
How much do we also look? I start to think, when I think taxation in local governments, you know, every government has their needs and their thoughts. I mean, it might be Hood River City needing a new police department. It might be the Parks and Rec District and the swimming pool and other issues. It might be the school district and what their next capital needs might be, et cetera, et cetera. How much can each individual government, from the county's viewpoint, do you try to take it in consideration of? Because eventually, for those of us out in the taxpaying world, in the property taxpayers, like you guys both are, eventually it's one property tax bill you see that you're paying in the end, with everybody getting their share of the pie. How much do you have to take into account what other needs in the county that are not county government needs are when you start doing your budget planning and thinking long term down the road for what you might seek?
Are you saying in terms of
revenue,
people's perception?
Revenue enhanced. Well, yeah.
When they see their tax
bill.
Exactly.
They're not thinking, oh, this is going to parks and this is going. They look at that sheet and they go, that's the bill.
Right.
You know, and my point being is every government has their, I don't want to say handout because that sounds a little, that's too simplistic. But every realm of government has its need, and in some way I can't help but think the local governments have to coordinate with each other to prevent, in the end, everybody asking for something within the space of a couple ballot years and nobody gets anything. It gets worse for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And part of what we have to do is make sure we're really clear when we talk to people about these particular like if they're, well,
you can't do the property tax.
So we can't do anything about that.
And that, frankly, is also one of the problems with this, which I know some people won't like me saying that, because you mentioned special districts. We start playing government a la carte at that point.
Exactly.
And I hate that.
It's no way to do things, but it's the only choice we have in a state that has such a complicated and immobile
property tax system.
And I think part of it has to do with educating people and reminding them that to look at the whole to look at the whole bill and realize where those things are going, and that how many of them are not actually going to the county, since they all go to the county courthouse to pay it. I think we sometimes get it's assumed that we're
no, you're
getting
only
more of it than we're getting.
Well, this gets back to my point is, you've got a school district with needs, you have the city of Hood River, you start to break this down, Cascade Locks, if you live in Cascade Locks. And I can think probably not so much of the, I don't know my on the Cascade Locks side as much, but every governmental entity I just mentioned here in the last 5 minutes, I know they're planning to go out to the ballot for something in the very near future.
Another thing that's happening is that there is a bill in the legislature to increase funding for the assessment office.
Yeah.
And if that were to happen, the estimates are that would increase our property tax.
Because you're going to get up to date on your assessments.
If we were to get up to date on our assessments, that would actually be quite helpful. And so if the state were to fund that, we would in fact be able to add that to our budget and
It's estimated
to come up with so much on our own.
Right, to generate another $5 million. Yes, for our districts.
What time tonight, County Commission, for the meeting? 5 p.m. Okay, in the County Administrative Building, as usual. I need to run because 8:30 and got Takwasco County here in a few minutes.
Thank you, Mark.
Allison, Jennifer, thanks for being with us. We'll come back right after this.
No passport needed. Enjoy sensational flavors from south of the border at Casa El Mirador. Delicious Mexican food made fast from the freshest and finest ingredients available. Enjoy Margarita Tuesdays and happy hour 3 till 6 Monday through Friday. Sizzling fajitas, takeout platters, and margaritas to go. Fully staffed with a banquet room seating up to 50. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week. On 2nd and Weber in the Dells with plenty of parking. Online at CasaElMirador.com. A fiesta of flavors. Casa El Mirador.
Looking for a gym that fits your life? The Power Station is open 24/7, ready when you are. Whether you're hitting the weights before dawn or squeezing in a little late night session, we've got you covered. Love working out with a coach? Thrive with a motivating group with early morning strength and conditioning, youth dryland training, or an empowering ladies lifting class. It's time to crush your goals and take your fitness to the next level. Head to the Power Station with two convenient locations on Cascade Avenue and in Parkdale, where strength never sleeps.
I heard the call to serve, so I answered. I earned a title and discovered my purpose. I found belonging, an unbreakable bond with my fellow Marines. We fought to overcome adversity together in defense of our nation and its people. I've lived a full life, rich with meaning. And even though I no longer wear the uniform, I am still a Marine. My service has come full circle. I will always look after those around me. I will always uplift and support my country and my community. Because that is the promise I made. That is what it means to be a Marine. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful. Always Marine.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:32 in the morning. We'll do a quick look at the news. You're kind of ran behind here a little bit. Jeff Justison will join us on the phone here in about 4 or 5 minutes. Federal judge upheld a requirement of the city of Hood River's short-term rental ordinances requiring that STR license holders in residential zones either reside on the property as their primary residence or have a designated lessee who does. A group of homeowners challenged the law, arguing the ordinance's residency requirement violates the dormant commerce clause by discriminating against out-of-state homeowners, thereby limiting their ability to participate in the vacation rental market. Federal District Court Judge Adrian Nelson ruled the threshold requirement of showing that the ordinances impose a substantial burden on interstate commerce was not reached. A 7-year-old died and a 4-year-old was seriously injured in a 2-vehicle crash on Friday night in Highway 97 in southern Wasco County. The Oregon State Police says a preliminary investigation indicated a southbound car operated by 34-year-old Eduardo Enrique Aguirre of Spokane attempted to pass a commercial motor vehicle in a no-passing zone near milepost 65 just after 9 in the evening and struck a northbound Volkswagen Atlas operated by 45-year-old Eric Daniel Smith of Pendleton head-on. A 7-year-old boy in Aguirre's car was transported by life flight, later declared deceased. Aguirre and another young passenger in his vehicle, a 4-year-old boy, seriously injured and transported to an area hospital for treatment. And Smith and his passengers, his wife and his son, also injured and transported to a hospital. Over the next few weeks, lawmakers in Washington's State House and Senate need to resolve significant differences on new taxes, education funding, furloughs for state employees, and much more. On the money for the state's housing trust fund, the gap is small. The Washington State Standard says in their bipartisan capital budget plans released last week, the Senate budgeted $600 million for Washington's primary source of affordable housing funding. The House earmarked $598 million. Residents of remote Wheeler County will soon have an easier way to access prescription medications without long drives to nearby towns. Murray's Drug, a small independent pharmacy chain based in Morrow County, rolling out a freestanding medication locker in Fossil so patients can pick up their medications at more convenient times without having to drive 30 minutes to a nearby pharmacy. And the pharmacy locker will be at the Asher Community Health Center in Fossil. It should be running by the end of the month. It is now 8:35.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog, just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
The Hood River Valley High School Booster Club needs you. The Booster Club raises funds to support clubs, sports, and activities for Hood River Valley High School students. It's a great chance if you enjoy connecting with others and helping your community's youth. Monthly meetings are held every second Monday of the month at 5:30 at Hood River Valley High School. We can make the best experience possible for our students with your help. You can volunteer to help the Hood River Valley High School Booster Club by going to hrvboosterclub.com. That's hrvboosterclub.com.
We are the NFHS. That stands for the National Federation of State High School Associations. But really, what we stand for, together with the OSAA, are the 99,000 high school sports and performing arts students in Oregon. And so, we stand. We stand for the runners, debate team members, and basketball players. We stand for their coaches, officials, and adjudicators. We stand for the drummers, football players, and actors. We stand for the golfers, singers, and swimmers. We stand as the national leader and advocate for these essential activities and all who participate in them and make them possible. Because it is our purpose to ensure that high school students get to play, perform, and compete together. To learn more about who we are and what we stand for, visit nfhs.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
We're now joined on the telephone by the newest Wasco County Commissioner, Jeff Justison. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing today?
All right. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, you've been on the job now for 3 months, and I always like to ask this of the rookies in the various offices. So, is it like what you thought it would be when you ran?
Well, that's a good question. Nobody's put it quite that way to me before, but I think, for the most part, I'd have to say yes. I'm kind of in that learning stage. People say it takes anywhere from a few months to a year to really learn the job and really become effective. I think a little bit of my county experience from before helped me hit the ground running a little bit. Things such as, you know, learning budgets, public meetings, that sort of thing. It's been interesting. I'm in that exciting learning lots of new stuff phase. Hitting the boards that I'm assigned to, learning what they're about. But it's a lot. There's a lot of things to learn. I'd have to say the part that's probably different than I thought is that there's so many things the commissioner has to deal with. So if you're in a certain department, you dive deep into that department, but the commissioners have to work their way through all of those departments and know a little bit about what's going on. Mm-hmm.
So what departments have you been tasked to be focused on?
Well, the big one so far is the Wasco County Fair. A couple years ago, agreement between the commission and the fair board was that a commissioner would serve as president of the fair board. So I've got that going, and that's a busy, active group, and it's been great so far. A good group of people on our board, so I've been enjoying that. I am going to eventually, I think, take over as Wasco County's representative on the NorCorps board. That's still in the works. They had some things going, so Commissioner Hagee kind of wanted to see through what they were working on before he did a handoff to that. I am on the Tri-County Hazardous Waste and Recycling Program Steering Committee. We're going to take a different board is that I'm going to take a look at getting a wolf compensation committee going here in Wasco County again. So yeah, there's just lots of a few of them somewhat random. I'm on the Central Oregon Workforce Development group. So yeah, just again, still learning a lot about or a little bit about each of those boards.
I'll start with the Wolf Compensation Committee part that you want to try to get going first. I thought there was one in Wasco County. Or did it kind of fade away?
Yeah, it kind of faded away. They got it going. It was about 10 years ago, and they got a little bit of momentum going, and then it just kind of dropped off, and they just kind of let it go away, I guess. And so it's really time to get that fired back up again. There's been some recognized wolf activity, in the southern part of the county here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, when I've seen most of the stories that come out about wolf issues, it tends to be to the east of here. And I know there are wolves in, as you mentioned, the southern part of the county. Are we starting to see more interaction with agricultural operations?
Yeah, a little bit. I think sometimes it's a little hard to tell because in some ways, rightly so, the state is a little bit reluctant to talk, for sure where wolves are and what their activity looks like. But they do, talk about that they're in the southern part of the county. And when I say the southern part of the county, it's not that far south of the Dalles, right? Because when you really look at Wasco County, even Maupin is more really central part of the county versus southern. And so we're talking the, Dufour, Maupin areas, not just way down south like in Shanico, Antelope, those kinds of areas.
Mm-hmm. What does it take to get a committee like this going again? I mean, I would assume maybe you had some resources from what was left from the past committee.
Yeah, there are, and I've been talking to a few people. It's really kind of work closely with ODF&W, with the state there to identify the needs. And then each committee has to have a couple of livestock producers, a county commissioner, and a couple of wolf advocates. Those are the requirements to have on the committee. And then it can be a little bit bigger than that. But those are the minimum requirements, and it's just getting those people together and coming up with rules or ways to review if there are claims for losses due to the to wolf activity.
You mentioned also though the county fair and being on that board, and I think you mentioned you actually are chairing the board. What's happening down there in Ty Valley? I know they've been doing a lot of improvements over the last couple of years.
Yeah, we're really excited about what's been going on. We just finished a big project, finishing up a big project. I mean, there's all sorts of mm-hmm. projects going on at any given time, but we did a lot of work to the camping areas as far as electrical and the buildings out there. There was a lot of times historically in the past is that they were, blowing fuses and just struggling to, kind of provide electricity to everything out there, just because when a lot of that stuff was put in years ago, trailers used far less electricity, but now they use more, so people be in the campsites and plug in and maybe have 10 or 15 amps worth of power, but need 20 or 25, and we lose things. So getting that up to speed, we're going out. A lot of this is grant-funded, and so some of the work depends on our ability to successfully be awarded a grant. We're working on some things to further improve the campsites out there, as well as the buildings, that the kids use for their animals for 4-H and that sort of thing. So those are some of the big ones. Last year they had a that storm blow through on Saturday and really did some damage. So some of it was still continuing to clean up from that mess last year.
How is the fair doing on a fiscal level?
Well, it's a break-even proposition, and the county doesn't put the county doesn't just fully fund the fair and have things go. We rely on sponsorships. We rely, you know, on volunteers. Rely on a lot of things. So right now, the last couple of years, I'd say things are going well. But as the economy gets tighter, businesses. They have to be a little more careful about where they're putting their funding, their community funding. High school sports teams are asking for things. Other community partners are asking for things. And so we just continue and really appreciate the sponsors that, come back and help fund the fair year after year. So it's a lot of work. Some of our board members and our fair manager really work hard out there knocking on doors, trying to get people to sponsor so we can provide a good event for everyone.
We are, of course, to budget time. We're talking budget pretty heavily because Hood River County Commission is going to have a budget discussion meeting tonight. So we got to talking with the County Commissioner Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams, Ron, just before you were here on the program. For Wasco County, as you get ready for your first budget go-around, how do things look?
Knocking on every piece of wood I've got here in my office as we're talking, things look okay for us this year. There's, Wasco County, adopted a budget philosophy a few years back and really embraced that, where they give the department heads, a lot of latitude in where the money goes and, or how it's spent. Of course, they have to, go within, public budgeting law, but people are very careful about how they spend money so they can potentially have some reserves build up for those things when they have big projects going and they don't have to suddenly in the middle of a budget season ask for a big increase in what's going on. So right now we're feeling pretty good. There's still some things to dial in, and I've been working with our administrator and our finance director to see what things look like right now, and we're in pretty good shape. So I'm hoping that is the way it winds up when we get to our public budget meetings.
Given the situation with the state and the gas tax and transportation funding, are roads maybe if not this particular budget year, but are roads the biggest concern as you look ahead here and there's so much uncertainty as far as what the state is going to be able to generate in that 50-30-20 formula?
Yeah, the roads are always concerned at the county level, as you well know. And I know that, talking with our public works director and the road boss and so forth, those guys used to do, 20 years ago, they were doing projects, right? And it's really turned into just maintenance. And if things continue to, things continue to decline and funding continues to decline, there's even less money for that maintenance. And, I've heard from a lot of constituents, appreciation for our road department here, doing a great job with, fairly tight budget and, continuing to work hard. And so, we're again in good shape right now, but who knows, further cuts. We're monitoring that closely so we know what the near future looks like.
Jeff Justison, Wasco County Commissioner, our guest on the program. Jeff, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you again here in a little while.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Jeff Justison, Wasco County Commissioner, our guest on MCT. We'll come back. It's about 10 minutes to the hour. More after this.
Hi, this is Dwayne from Genesis Septic Solutions. We offer all things septic, including septic pumpings, septic repairs, septic installs, and we do both commercial and residential. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777. We have quality employees, and remember to look for us in the big green trucks. If you're having septic problems, give us a call at 541-993-7777.
Big changes are coming to home cooling systems, and waiting could cost you. A lot of AC systems are using outdated refrigerants and are being phased out, making repairs harder and more expensive. A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, voted Best of the Gorge, is here to help. Right now, get up to $2,000 off a new energy-efficient system, replacing R22 with the latest refrigerant technology. It's better for the environment and your wallet. But don't wait. This deal ends May 31st. Does your system qualify? Call us at A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today and stay cool for less.
With warm weather fast approaching, now's the time to test your vehicle's air conditioning system. Not blowing very cold or not cold at all? It's time to call the experts at Precision Automotive. They're trained and certified to repair your vehicle's air conditioning system. And they offer same-day service at competitive prices. Give Chris or Alina a call at 541-296-5153 and get that AC blowing cool. Precision Automotive, 296-5153, or on the web at precisionautotd.com.
And the Kraken go up 2-0. Brandon Tanev!
It's the return of Seattle Kraken hockey.
Score! Score!
Don't miss the season-long action right here on your home of the Kraken.
Listen for over 50 Kraken games on KIHR.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:51 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today as we roll along on this Tuesday morning. Tomorrow on our little radio program, we are going to converse with a member of the Washington Legislature. Kevin Wanders will join us. From the Washington State House, 17th District, we'll talk about what's going on in Olympia. It's budget talk time, as in trying to bring the Senate and House versions together and bring it together with the governor, who doesn't think much of some of what's in the Senate and House versions. So a lot still to go on in Olympia as they head down toward the home stretch of that session. Remember, they have a 105-day session at this time of year on the odd-numbered years. We'll see if they can get through it here. Hood River County Health Department, Darren Ryan, are scheduled guest tomorrow, and we'll talk to Darren about, you know, maybe some of what we talked about with NCPHD Executive Director Martha McInnes on Thursday last week about, you know, federal losses and uncertainty. You heard actually Allison Williams, they didn't get into a lot here, but she alluded to reworking the health department budget right now, that's been a focus on administration, Hood River County, because, you know, there are federal programs that are suddenly not there, and money that was budgeted for this current fiscal year isn't there all of a sudden. And it does impact these local governments. So we'll do that. Thursday is now TBA. We were going to do Providence City Memorial Hospital. We're going to, at their request, back up a week. So we'll have them on next week. And Friday, we'll talk Columbia Gorge Discovery Center, among other things. So that's what we got coming up on MCT over the next few days, heading toward the end of the week, as we are, of course, just a Tuesday. We're not really that close at this point. 8:53, we'll take our last break, come back, and tell you about some things going on in the area after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
Hey, this is Craig Morgan. Put the phone away or pay. We see them every day, people driving using their phones. There's the sneaker peeker or the fast scroller, who can quickly become the fender benderer, the get a ticketer, or the driver who killed someone. Using your phone while driving could kill someone. put the phone away or pay.
Furnished by NHTSA.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's news leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
It is now 8:55 in the morning. I'm in Columbia Today. We're a few moments away here from wrapping things up this morning. Well, here's what's going on in the area. If you're in White Salmon or Bingen and want to be a part of the community-wide yard sales and business sidewalk sales are coming up on Friday through Sunday in those communities, and you want to be on the sale map, you need to register by 1 today. You need to contact the Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce to do that. The email I've got, the contact info, is info.mountadamschamber@gmail.com. Of course, maybe it'd be easier to give them a call to find out what you need to do. But if you want to be in the map for the White Salmon Bingen community-wide yard sales and business sidewalk sales taking place this weekend, you need to contact them by 1 o'clock today. Safe Space Children's Advocacy Center of the Gorge, their community training, Safe Space CAC 101 at 6 this evening at the center on 206 Wasco Loop in Hood River. Call 541-436-2960 for more information. Klickitat County Comprehensive Plan Community Outreach Meeting, that'll be Thursday evening from 6 to 8 at the Trout Lake Grange Hall. The Run with the Wild 5K and 10K Walk and Run is this Saturday at the River Waterfront. It's a fundraiser for the Wildland Firefighter Foundation. 100% of proceeds donated. Family and dog friendly, fire trucks, Smokey Bear, face painting, auction, and raffle. Register at runreg.com. That's RUNREG.com. Blossom Festival Craft Show. It's that time of year again for that, but the Hood River County Fairgrounds. That's an annual event. It's going to be Saturday from 10 to 5, Sunday from 10 to 4 up in Odell. If you're interested in learning about being a storyteller and do it better, it's the Art of Storytelling classes with Nancy Turner at the Dallas Arts Center. And they're going to do it the next three Saturdays, the series of them, 3 to 5, beginning this Saturday. Cost is $65, and you can sign up at thedallasartscenter.org. Derek Hughes, stand-up magician. Saturday evening, 700 Middle School Auditorium. This is a benefit for the Hood River County Education Foundation. Reserve seat tickets and more information at hrcef.org. Mosier Grange Cherry Blossom Buffet is coming up on Sunday. That's 11:30 to 3 at the Grange Hall on 1000 4th Avenue in Mosier. It's $15 for adults, $5 for ages 6 to 12. Children under 6, they are free. And annual event there. It helps out the many projects the Mosier Grange does. So if you have a chance to get on out there, we do advise you to do so and enjoy yourself a good buffet on Sunday out the Mosier Grange. Well, I don't have much else to say. I got to be honest. I don't. Nothing's bubbling out of me here to bring up. Again, that Hood River County Commission meeting on budget philosophy, 5 o'clock. They have a special meeting today at the Hood River County Administration Building. If you're interested in listening to that after listening to our conversation this morning, you can do that. In fact, you also go online and check it out there. They've got a link for you to join up, and I think also you might be on YouTube as well, that link. I'm not sure on that one, but I know you can check it out. It's either Zoom or the equivalent. It may not be Zoom. But anyway, you can go to the county website and you can get the link for it. We're done. I'm Mark Bailey for Cameron Eisenberg. Talk to you again on Wednesday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
I'm ready. Let me just grab my bag.
Sweatpants, huh? Didn't know we were keeping it casual this month.
Yeah. I feel bloated every now and then.
You